Welcome to the Chrisman Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Chrisman. Topics on today's episode include the Fed's messaging, an interview with Rob Chrisman on a variety of topics in mortgage that are germane to the daily commentary in this podcast, and yet another look at housing supply. Thanks to this week's podcast sponsor, Optimal Blue. Optimal Blue's smart solutions automate critical functions like pricing, hedging, trading, and social media. Actionable data provides timely insights to bolster operational and competitive strategies. Together with real-time industry connections to 70-plus technology vendors, their marketplace platform enables you to compete more effectively and elevate results. More originators and investors rely upon Optimal Blue's integrated solutions, data, and connections to support their unique business strategies, no matter how complex. After three consecutive months of stronger than expected inflation readings, Fed Chair Powell said that, quote, "The recent data have clearly not given us greater confidence and instead indicate that it is likely to take longer than expected to achieve that confidence." Last year, rebounding supply supported U.S. growth in spending and also employment, alongside a considerable decline in inflation. The more recent data show solid growth and continued strength in the labor market, but also a lack of further progress so far this year on returning to our 2% inflation goal. End quote. As always, the Federal Reserve is watching the data as it comes out. But things will be higher for longer. At least the next rate move is still forecast to be a cut, even though that could change. Things could get rocky for lenders and borrowers if it does shift to a hike, which could happen if price pressures resurface and put a so-called soft landing into doubt. And now we have the yield on the benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury note up at its highest level since November, above 4.6%, versus a yield of 4.25% in the last week or two, and after starting the year at 3.88%, meaning that the 10-year is now nearing a full point rise for 2024. Holy smokes. For today's interview, I wanted to welcome back to the show Rob Chrisman to talk about a variety of topics in mortgage that are germane to the daily commentary and this podcast.
It seems like news has been pretty quiet of late. The calm before the spring home buying storm. How would you categorize what's been going on in the mortgage space over the last couple weeks?
Well, your question addresses two different topics from a spring buying, summer buying season fast approaching, if not already here. Yeah, that is the traditional time when the school years are winding up and parents are realizing, A, they might need a larger place, B, they want to move to a different school district over the summer, or C, they are just, you know, spring fever a little bit and checking things out there. Unfortunately, they are finding, as has been the case for quite some time, that inventory levels are low. Builders are building, you know, a million and a half units a year, which isn't enough to keep pace with the demand by people in their late 20s and 30s, even early 40s, for places to live, especially affordable places to live. And so the traditional upswing in volume is expected to be somewhat muted this springtime. Interest rates obviously aren't helping, but interest rates are what they are. Companies are figuring out ways around that to some extent. In terms of the mortgage market news that's going on out there, it is relatively quiet. There's nothing too grand going on, although if you were to ask somebody from the MBA or somebody from Chase or Citi or AmeriHome or PennyMac, you know, everybody's kind of doing things and introducing new products here and there. But in general, I think companies are focused on continuing to either stay afloat or make a little money given their product mix and looking at their servicing portfolios, if they still have servicing portfolios, and possibly selling all or part of those in order to raise cash, in order to keep going for the foreseeable future. So it continues to be a tough environment. Rates are going to be at these levels for quite some time, and companies are trying to get through it.
And I want to focus on that side of it, though I did hear there's actually potential for rates to shoot up because investors had piled into bets recently that there would be a rally going on. But with the sell-off we've seen recently, bets on a rally might decrease, and that could push treasury yields up further. I think the big news recently, there was some new res caliber stuff out there. I'm here in Northeast Ohio, where I think Union Home took on 100 something caliber employees. What are you hearing about the M&A space or consolidation or movement around the industry?
It is very much alive and well. And whether that's at individual loan officer or branch levels or larger kind of headline grabbing news, you know, it'll vary. CMG just bought Norcom's retail group, for example, leaving Norcom to focus on wholesale. Things like that grab headlines, but you know, if a branch in Yuma, Arizona goes from XYZ to ABC, it's not headline grabbing, but it's still happening in many, many places. And companies are always looking at shifting their business mix in terms of branches or in terms of regions or divisions, depending on profitability. And just holding on to a branch or a region or even a whole channel just for the sake of holding on to it, hoping the market turns around and volume picks back up again. Companies have run out of runway, as they say, for a lot of that thinking, and are saying, well, you know what, this branch hasn't made us money for 6 months or a year, and their business mix or their concessions are higher than normal, or they ask for extensions, price exceptions, whatever it might be. And maybe it's time we let them go find success somewhere else. So, yeah, I think that'll continue well into the foreseeable future.
Editorially, how do you decide what makes it into the daily email each morning? I think there's a lot of water cooler chat type stuff that people might be discussing that you don't necessarily report on. Maybe you don't want to, and maybe that's by choice. Where's your head when it comes to what to include or what not to include in the email?
Well, oftentimes people like hearing what other companies are doing or saying, but how many times can you say cut expenses or increase profitability or sell servicing? The, you know, the message has been the same for quite some time. So I guess I would say that I amuse myself sometimes by going off with some non-mortgage related news. Like today's opening paragraph, I had all kinds of little bits of information that were non-mortgage related. And then I thought, that's maybe too non-mortgage related. So I brought it back into mortgage banking somewhat. But yeah, it's just a matter of figuring out what people are talking about. And like I say, you know, you can only talk about cutting expenses and high interest rates for so long, and people need a diversion once in a while.
Outside of those topics you just mentioned, what are the recent mortgage events or conferences you've attended? And what has the chatter been there that you view as maybe a little more meaningful?
I've been, you know, traveling has actually slowed down here for me in April, and my next business trip isn't until early May to Alabama. The discussion topics out there are meaningful ideas about how to save money and do things more efficiently, rather than just some kind of generalized statement like we need to save more money. the companies, the lenders that come to these conferences are now looking at meaningful ways to become more efficient, concrete things that can have an effect immediately. And they're also going to conferences to touch base with their friendly competitors, because you never know, you might overhear or be involved in a discussion where somebody is, you know, in their 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, and they're thinking about, yeah, do I want to go through another business cycle? And, you know, gee, Tony, I've known you for 23 years now, and our companies have already or been friendly competitors for a long time. And, you know, why don't we have a discussion about whatever? So I know that business transacts at these conferences to some extent, but yeah, I think companies and individuals are looking for meaningful spends for their travel and entertainment budgets in terms of airfare and hotel to attend these conferences, and they want to get something concrete out of them.
You know what they say about the similarities between mortgages and cousins in Alabama, right?
No, I don't.
I'm just kidding. I remember talking.
I think we lost 1/150th of our listeners here, but go on.
I remember talking to you after attending the Independent Mortgage Bankers in New Orleans at the start of the year. And there's this kind of travel circuit conference crew that seems to go place to place to place. Probably mentioned it to you again when we were at ICE in Vegas a month ago. Those aren't necessarily the people that are power brokering mortgage, correct? It's kind of the faces of organizations, or they serve an entirely separate purpose.
I don't know if you can make a generalized statement like that. A lot of vendors are out there, instead of sending, you know, 10 people to a given conference, maybe they send 3 or 4. And generally those are the, you know, the sales staff or the people who know the guts of whatever product it is that they are offering. In terms of the lenders, lenders have scaled back their attendance at conferences, as one might expect, because, you know, if there's not a lot new to talk about, do I really want to spend $3,000 or $5,000 or whatever to send 1 or 2 or 3 of my employees to a given conference when I'm, you know, laying people off? And the amount of knowledge that they might get out of this conference versus the one they went to last month, or the one they went to 2 months ago, or the one they're going to go to, you know, next month. It once again, companies and managers are looking at expenses and trying to figure out where the biggest bang for their buck is. And, you know, sometimes senior management will decide to go, but I know senior management who have no desire to go to a conference. They'd rather be trying to recruit from the folks who are going to those conferences while they're at the conference. So it varies. It basically, you know, it's kind of like life. You know, you get out of it what you put into it. And if you just show up looking for a good time and have no real agenda and don't really have anything to talk about with anybody, then that's tends to be what happens. But if you go to a conference, whether you're low on the totem pole or high on the totem pole, and you have a set of, you know, 3 or 5 objectives that you want to accomplish while you're there, then some of these conferences can be very valuable.
You listen to this podcast from time to time. Any ways you think I could improve it?
Perhaps make the interviews a little bit shorter.
I ask you too many questions today.
Today was fine.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
As that interview alluded, it's been pretty quiet out there in terms of market moving news. Weekly jobless claims showed no change from last week's level, and there was a better than expected Philadelphia Fed survey for April yesterday, which prompted some selling. If you recall, investors bought plenty of treasuries to close 2023 and open 2024, betting on several rate cuts this year from the Fed. However, Fed speakers hammering home patient rhetoric on interest rates, including several more yesterday, reiterating that they don't feel urgency to cut rates at this time, due to a reluctance of the U.S. economy to cool, has forced investors to abandon bets on rally, giving way to a wave of selling. Accordingly, mortgage rates surged in the latest primary mortgage market survey from Freddie Mac, with the 30-year rate above 7% for the first time this year. For the week ending April 18th, the 30-year and 15-year mortgage rates jumped 22 basis points and 23 basis points versus the prior week to 7.10% and 6.39%, respectively. Those rates are 71 basis points and 63 basis points higher than this time last year. Inflation is back below 3%, but hotter than expected readings for the rental category of housing in the first few months of the year are a big reason the Fed has held back on the rate cuts that Wall Street has been hoping for. Markets seeing the biggest rent declines are the ones where there's been the most construction. The Northeast and Midwest have experienced lingering high inflation, while the West and South have seen it moderate rapidly. Existing home sales fell 4.3% in March to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 4.19 million. Widely expected decline given the recent slip in purchase mortgage applications and solid gains registered in the first 2 months of 2024 from increased supply and a temporary dip in mortgage rates. Sales were down 3.7% from the previous year. The median existing home sales price rose 4.8% from a year ago to $393,500, the ninth consecutive month of year-over-year price gains, and the highest price ever for the month of March. The inventory of unsold existing homes grew 4.7% from 1 month ago to the equivalent of 3.2 months supply at the current monthly sales pace. There's no data of note on today's economic calendar, though there is one Fed speaker, Chicago President Goolsbee. For capital markets folks, today is Class D 48 hours. We begin the day with agency MBS prices better by an eighth to a quarter, the 10-year yielding 4.59 after closing yesterday at 4.65%, and the 2-year at 4.96. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. Grammar is a good thing, but there are things to remember. Everyone should be careful to use a singular pronoun with singular nouns in their writing. Always pick the correct idiom. The adverb always follows the verb. Take the bull by the hand and avoid mixing metaphors. If you reread your work, you can find on rereading a great deal of repetition can be by rereading and editing. And always be sure to finish what... Thanks again to this week's podcast sponsor, Optimal Blue. Optimal Blue's smart solutions automate critical functions like pricing, hedging, trading, and social media. Actionable data provides timely insights to bolster operational and competitive strategies. Together with real-time industry connections to 70-plus technology vendors, their marketplace platform enables you to compete more effectively and elevate results. More originators and investors rely on Optimal Blue's integrated solutions, data, and connections to support the unique business strategies, no matter how complex. If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.